Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a traumatic event that turned your life upside down? I'm talking about something really, really traumatic. Would you like to learn more about surviving a horrific accident or surviving a horrific divorce? In some ways, both are very similar. Have you ever wanted to know about women who not only survive, but they go on to thrive and they go on to help others? Can you imagine going from tragedy to triumph? Tell me, do you know what not to do after divorce? Oh, yeah, that's a good topic. Have you ever heard about two books? One is called Successful Second Marriages, and the other is called Extraordinary Divorces. Or better yet, would you like to meet two people who have some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to two guests. They are wonderful success coaches, and they will provide us with informative, inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about divorces. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk 4 Media and syndicated at iHeartRadio Talk and Blog Talk Radio. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% during 2012. Now, let me tell you about a little bit about our guests. We have two guests. The first guest, Pat Bubosch, has been on our show before. She received her master's degree in education with an emphasis in counseling from the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Along with her degree, she took postgraduate classes in testing and assessment. Her true love and passion has been working with children and their parents. For over 30 years, she has worked as a counselor in an educational setting. During those years, she presented workshops at community colleges on such issues as self-esteem, ADHD, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It is my pleasure to welcome Pat to the show today, and she has invited another guest, Carol Harper, who is a professional speaker and author who has been featured on numerous radio and television talk shows. She is a member of the Toastmasters at the Square in Marietta, Georgia, and served as president of her club. She speaks to women about healthy self-esteem. Her new book, Extraordinary Divorce, was recently released to encourage divorced women. Hello, Pat, and hello, Carol. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show. And Pat is going to serve as my co-host today. She's a regular on the show. She's with me once a month. And it was her suggestion to invite Carol Harper to join us. Carol, tell us a little bit about you, where you grew up, and your early mentors, and then let's talk about the traumatic event that turned your life upside down.
Okay, well, I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas. My dad was a newspaper editor, and he also owned a PR firm. I had very low self-esteem as a child, and I was very shy because I had a verbally abusive father. And I carried those negative messages with me, and then I attracted men that treated me badly because I was used to that. I didn't really love and respect myself at that time.
And who were your early mentors at that time?
Well, I had an uncle that really helped me. I loved to draw, and he was an artist, and he encouraged me. But, you know, just being from the negative, having negative messages told to you your whole life, it was very difficult as a child.
Now, Pat, I have a question for you because I know you deal with children all the time. Could you address this situation of negativity in a young child's life and what it does to them?
Well, you know, those are things, those emotions and feelings never go away. What happens is, as Carol has done, you find yourself and find the abilities to rise above that. It's like that inner child that is always with us, but somewhere along the way we have mentors or experiences that guide us and help us to rise above that. If that doesn't happen, if we don't find the people, if we don't find a cause, if we don't find help, whatever, to make us realize that we are valuable, that we are worth being loved, then that person never thrives, never goes on, you know, to have a satisfying life.
Yeah. And this happens so often, and it's such a tragedy. Carol, let me ask you about the traumatic event that turned your life upside down and what kind of injuries you sustained.
Yes, well, I got married in 1978, and a year after I was married, I got a job in the hotel business. I was a sales manager, and I was on my way to work at 8 o'clock a.m. when I was hit head-on by a drunk driver.
Oh.
We were both doing 50 miles an hour when we hit head on. That's like going into a brick wall at 100 miles per hour. So it was a traumatic accident. And my injuries were, I had a traumatic brain injury, and that put me in critical condition. My facial bones were crushed to powder. My nose was broken. My jaw was broken. My face was literally ripped apart from my skull. They had to wire it back. And then I had six surgeries to rebuild my face, and I never looked the same. So that was very hard for me.
And how long did your recovery take? How long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital a month, but when I came home, I couldn't walk by myself. My husband had to walk me to the bathroom. And also with my jaw being broken, I had to just sip soup through a wired mouth. And I dropped down to 89 pounds, and it was just a very awful thing. And, of course, I lost my job. My car was totaled.
Did the drunk driver survive?
Oh, he did, yes, and he wasn't injured like I was.
You hear that so often. How did this terrible car crash affect your young marriage? You'd only been married, what, 1 year when it happened?
Right. Well, my husband had a really hard time dealing with a wife that looked differently, and also I had a head injury, and that caused me to have mood swings. I'd cry. I was depressed. So it took a toll on my marriage. And then my husband had an affair, and I was just crushed. And I begged him, I begged him to go to counseling, and when he refused, I filed for a divorce.
Now, Pat, you've seen this before, haven't you, in the counseling you've done with families, where traumatic events, whether it be an accident or a death, a lot of times that's the crack that destroys marriages, isn't it?
You know, it's so true what you're saying, January. You find that either that strengthens the relationship or it ends it. And that goes back to, you know, what the value of that relationship was, you know, how each person saw the commitment, the loyalty to that. Of course, for Carol, you know, it's a very young marriage, and she and I have talked in the past about that she was a very lovely young woman. Well, she's still lovely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in your youth, we put so much emphasis on appearance. And so that probably was a big part of that relationship. You know, he, mm-hmm. he young husband was in love with a beautiful young wife and couldn't see beyond that outward beauty. But going back to your question, even in a death, even in a relationship where it's a move or a loss of a job, any of those life-changing things that, you know, are part of our life experiences, if the relationship isn't really a strong one, one built on respect and love and beyond the material or appearances, whatever, outward, I guess is the word I'm looking at, exterior, then it's probably not going to survive it.
Yeah, we see that so often. Now, Carol, share with my listeners briefly what you did to overcome this tragic event. Tell us about the book you wrote.
Well, every time I tell my story to someone, they kept saying, "You have an amazing story. You should write a book." I kept hearing this over and over again. But the first few years, I was just focused on my injuries, and I talked about that all the time. But when I took my focus off of me and my crash and my injuries, and I focused on something else, that's when my true emotional healing began. And I focused on writing a book to help others. And I'd learned that really healthy self-esteem comes from within, and I wanted to share that message with other women. So that's why I wrote my book, Of Face Value, and it's just helped so many women. So when I get emails from women saying how much they have been inspired by my story, it just really, really encourages me.
Well, that's a fantastic title for a book, Face Value, and I hope to have you back on the show, and we will just deal with that one book and that one topic, because it is a fascinating topic, and it would be so helpful to so many people out there who have to learn to focus on the interior versus the exterior appearance in your life. We're going to take a break and hear from two of my wonderful sponsors. And when we're coming back, we're going to talk about Extraordinary Divorce, the latest book that Carol Harper has written. We'll be right back.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals, love, and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice, is just what the doctor ordered.
You know, both Pat and Nick's books are fantastic. I read them both, and I want to suggest to my listeners that either one of these books would make a terrific gift to give to people, especially with the Valentine's season coming up. If you're looking for a gift, go to the Amazon and you can find their books there. Now, Pat, let me ask you about life changing for better after divorce, because most times people think it's going to be, they're never going to get over it, don't they?
I think so, yeah. You know, in the initial, few months, year, whatever, the pain is mm-hmm. so great. And whether it was something that was agreed upon by both spouses, it is a loss of something that you planned, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, building a house or, you know, taking a trip that you always wanted to take or, you know, going to college. It was a plan for the future. And it is a loss, just like a death is a loss, because you're not going to have that back again.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carol, how long has it been since your divorce?
It's been 10 years.
Okay. And do you feel now that you have a perspective and a distance from it that your life has changed for the better?
Oh, definitely. It really has.
And tell us about your speaking career and some of the things you have done to become positive again.
Well, it's really kind of strange because speaking was my worst nightmare, and I was so afraid of public speaking. And I joined Toastmasters, a public speaking group, because I wanted to speak at Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They had a victim impact panel. So after being in Toastmasters for 2 years, I was able to join the victim impact panel. And when I speak at MAD, I have drunk drivers coming up to me saying, "Thank you for sharing your story. I'll never drink and drive again." And that is just so wonderful to hear that my story had an impact on them.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, this Toastmasters theme runs through and through my show. You cannot imagine how many people have come on the show and talk about their Toastmasters experience and what it did to change their lives and gave them the self-confidence and self-esteem to step up to the plate. I think I'm actually going to have to think about writing one of my priceless personality books and just feature people who have been in Toastmasters.
That would be great.
And all of their stories, because they're quite extraordinary. Yeah. Now,
January, can I interject something here quickly? Because if I don't, I'll forget it. And you will appreciate this. You really will, as a chocolate-holic. My husband has become involved in Toastmasters here in St. Louis.
Okay.
And loves it. And it, one of his first speeches, ladies, was the benefits of a chocolate diet, which was white chocolate, dark chocolate, truffles, and what was the other one? But there were four chocolates that were the necessary components of a healthy diet.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, see, that just further proves that there's all kinds of possibilities when you're dealing with success stories from Toastmasters.
Right.
That, I'll put that on my agenda. Now, Carol, tell us about writing your book, Extraordinary Divorce. What prompted you to do it? How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, it took about a year. But I would hear women saying, "Oh, my life is over, you know, going through this divorce." And I thought, you know, I really want to write a book to encourage divorced women, to let them know that there is hope after divorce. And then I put a query in Reporter Connection, and I found all of these women that had these wonderful stories, inspirational stories, and they're all authors, speakers, entrepreneurs and inventors, and none of them would be in this position if they had not been through the divorce.
Okay.
So I was so excited to meet these ladies and put them all in one book.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, I'm partial to stories because all of my books are about success stories, and I share success stories here on the show all of the time. Now, what is in your book other than stories? Do you have other information?
I do, and that's what makes my book different than most. There's plenty of books out there that are just have compiled stories, but this book is different because I have what not to do after a divorce, what to do after a divorce, and, of course, this was my personal experiences and what I learned. And then I have a chapter on healthy self-esteem. And then the last chapter is Keys to Discover Your Destiny, to help women find their purpose in life. So it takes the women through the different stages of divorce, like when they're first divorced, woe is me, and they're depressed, they'll look at the do's and don'ts, and then the healthy self-esteem, and then read the wonderful inspirational stories, and then at the time they're ready for it, then they can discover their destiny.
Oh, fantastic. I'm looking at the contents page, and I'm pleased to see that you have Pat Bubas, successful second marriage.
Yes, one of the ladies.
Oh, yes. I am part of it.
Oh, that's wonderful, because your story is amazing. Now, let's address both of you. I'm going to ask Pat first and then Carol. What to do after divorce? What are your tips?
Okay, was I first? I was thinking there, so I lost the first or second. One of the things I think is so important, and I'm saying this in response to the couples that I interviewed, and each one of them said they knew they didn't want to go through a divorce again. That was way too painful. They did not want to repeat that ever. So they needed to know more about themselves. And I think the first thing that will be helpful long term is to take time out. You know, don't be going out on that blind date with your best friend's cousin from Waukegan, or, you know, the friend at work who, you know, has an old college mate that, you know, she knows you'll just love. Take some time out. Take some time out to reflect, to, you know, involve yourself with other groups that have experienced divorce and can be helpful to each other, can share. Know yourself before you start dating again. Now, some people are so, you know, hurt by this and so just traumatized by it that they don't even want to consider dating again. They probably will, because more than half of the people that divorce remarry.
So the
odds are pretty good. You know, eventually they'll want to get back out in that circle. But just take some time out and think about, you know, what caused this to happen, what you contributed to it, because we all contribute something to it. Whether it was passively or aggressively, we all do. And, you know, think about, you know, your contribution, your lack of contribution, and that person's, what you're willing to give when you find another love, that lasting love, what you're willing to give, what you want them to give to it. You notice I almost said expect. But I have gotten rid of expectations, because if you have expectations, you're going to be disappointed. But hope springs eternal.
Oh, doesn't it? Carol, what can you add to these comments about what to do? What advice do you have for people to do right after divorce?
Well, I went to a divorce support group. Mine was divorce care. But get in some kind of group where you can have women going through what you're going through. It really helps. Now, friends and family are good, but sometimes you can run friends and family off by moaning and whining to them.
Right.
And so just having a good divorce support group where you can find camaraderie with other women going through the same thing that you are. And then as far as emotional healing, just, you know, I agree with what Pat said. You know, what did you contribute? You know, there's always two people in a marriage, and one is not to blame. So see what it is that you may have contributed. Look at yourself. get that emotional healing, and then take care of yourself. Maybe do something for yourself because you're so depleted, and if you have kids, you're doing for them. And just take time to do something for yourself.
Well, it's such a big adjustment because you're actually at that point, in most of, after most divorces, you are now a single parent. So that is quite a big part of the whole emotional leap that you're taking after divorce. You know, we're going to hear from two of my wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Carol and Pat about what not to do after divorce. We'll be right back with Carol Harper and Pat Bubash.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced four times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Well, Pam Evans will be back on our show next week sharing her four marriages and her good news.
One of my favorite people. Should I not? I won't say what her good news is because I'll ruin it.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. And Dale Bruner will be on at the end of the month sharing the launch of his incredible new website. We're back with Carol Harper and Pat Bubash. Now, Carol, what can you give suggestions for people who are newly divorced, what not to do after divorce? So what are some of the biggest mistakes people make?
Well, one, and I did it, I was guilty of this one, don't reveal any personal financial information to anyone you date. Some men are looking for divorced women who come out of their divorce with money. And in the name of love, many vulnerable women have allowed men to take their money.
Oh,
so you need
God.
To be cautious about anyone that wants to help you invest your money or know about your finances.
Boy, that's a good one. I never would have thought of that. Of course, I've never been divorced.
I know, and a lot of women just don't think. They just, he tells me what I want to hear, and they get caught up in that.
What are your thoughts about that suggestion, Pat?
A good one. I think we can, as divorced women, we can kind of be a target for, you know, those who might want to take advantage of our vulnerability. But I'm going to go back to something Carol mentioned before. Don't wear your family, your friends, your coworkers out with your, you know, unhappiness, disappointment, misery, whatever about your divorce. Join a group. You know, that's why there are support groups out there, you know, through church, through, join Toastmasters, you know, that'll make you feel
anything.
Better about yourself, you know. But do not dwell on this, you know, and don't dwell on it to everybody in earshot, because what will happen is they will start avoiding you, and then people will see you as a negative, cynical person. Move on with your life. There's other things in your future that will bring you happiness. Look for that. One thing I am a firm believer in. Now, you asked for things not to do, and I guess I'm spinning that around because I can think of more things to do than I can think don't do. So I don't know. Maybe I'm sabotaging the question.
No, run with it.
Good. All right. Find a passion. I'm a big one on volunteering. But, you know, I also think, you know, write. You know, write about, look what Carol's done with what she went through. You know, write about it. It doesn't have to become a book. It becomes your story for you. And, you know, do something positive in your positive that moves beyond what was unhappy and was a negative in your life at that time.
And writing can be so therapeutic, as all three of us know. You know, I was thinking about when you said, do not dwell on it and don't wear others down with this.
Yeah.
In my book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, I have one chapter called The Pity Party. And my best friend, I was a widow, and my best friend was divorced. And we had a pity party composed of two people. We never included anyone else, and we were always there for each other and listened to each other, but we didn't bore other people with our sad stories. And I think it's important to find someone, whether it's a personal friend or family or support group, that you can say and get things out, but then you have to keep it private. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Definitely.
I agree. It's like that old saying, if you give all of your information, then you have no information, you know. there is, you know, keep a little mystique about yourself. It's much more interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And people are attracted to you when you are positive and have self-esteem.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Carol, you were only married a short time. Are you dealing with children?
I have one daughter.
Uh-huh. Is she from the first marriage?
No, that's another show, as Oprah would say.
Okay. All right.
We've got lots of stories.
We'll let that one go. We don't have to dwell on that.
Yeah, I've had two divorces, I have enough material for several shows.
Okay, well, you certainly will be invited back. You know, these are the things that women are facing. Was it difficult to find women who would let you use their stories in your book?
No, it wasn't. There were several that did not want to give their names, and I didn't use them because I wanted to promote these women and their books, products, and services, but some of them didn't want to mention their names, so I did not take those.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense, to respect other people's privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about healthy self-esteem, because this has got to be the biggest problem after a divorce, because everyone feels like they're a failure, that they think about their regrets, what they should have done differently. What are the first steps you recommend to obtain healthy self-esteem, Pat?
I think the first thing is to accept that something you didn't want did happen. You know, accept that. You know, this did happen to me. It's not because I'm a bad person. It's not because I can't have a good relationship. You know, acceptance of it happened. And I think the second thing is to, you know, find something. You know, I'm thinking of making yourself healthier. You know, do something that makes you feel better about your personal appearance. You know, join a club. Join a meditative group. Something that gives you that personal feeling of success. Because I think that's what we need after we feel that we failed, is something that lets us know we aren't failures. Our marriage failed, but we aren't failures. We are capable of being great people and doing other things. I think those are two things: acceptance, changing something about ourselves,
And I honestly do believe that if we find some spiritual part of ourselves, whether it, you know, be through a church affiliation or a group that looks to something more than just the material things of the world, that helps us as well. You know, give ourselves credit for being good people and work in that capacity of you know, strengthening our inner selves, strengthening and making ourselves better in and out.
Fantastic.
And out.
Yeah. Now, Carol, what are your thoughts on self-esteem, acceptance, change, and spirituality?
Well, when I, you know, before my car crash, you know, I based my whole self-esteem. It was all about my outward appearance, my hair, my clothes. It was all about the outward. And then after my crash, I really realized that you have to really look inward and base your self-esteem on the inside, the internal person. And that really helped me. I started to look inside more. And when I looked inside, I discovered gifts and talents I didn't know I had.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good for me. And
right.
I stopped comparing myself to others. You know, that's very destructive, comparing yourself to others. You know, I wanted to know that I was a unique person and look at myself and not do the destructive comparing yourself to others. And just learning to love and respect myself.
And don't you both think, I'm sorry, Carol, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, now we're
but,
being like The View.
Yeah, that would be. Don't want to be compared there. But, you know, I think that is so difficult in the society that we live in, because we have so many examples that are put before us at such a young age of what we should look like and what we should be superwomen. So I think, you know, that is really an important part of the process is, you know.
I think you're absolutely right. And so many women, especially young women, compare themselves to others, and it's like everything we see and read, you go to the market, everything you look at, it's all these people that are living these lives that are out over the top and outrageous. We're going to take a break and hear from another sponsor and a little bit about your host today. And when we come back with Carol and Pat, we're going to talk about what success means to them, if they have any regrets, and a little advice. And Carol, I also want to talk about some of the stories in your book if we have time. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with Carol Harper and Pat Bubash.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
I want everyone to know that just today we have my website, www.januaryjones.com. And if you sign on with just your name and email, you can download for free the first two chapters of Priceless Personalities. Also, I wanted to share that Tom will be on the show co-hosting with me next week, and we will be featuring one of his chapter guests, and I'm looking forward to that very much. Now, right now, Carol, you've accomplished quite a bit, and would you share with my listeners what your success means to you at this stage of your life?
Yes, I think... you know, you're successful if you provide a service or a product that helps others. And I feel by having these books, I know that my legacy will live on for future generations. That I see in 75 years, a lady will pick up my book and be helped and encouraged by my divorce book. And that just really excites me to know that, you know, my legacy is carried on. And I think that's what success is. That's my definition of what success is.
That's something I agree with.
You know, because if you accomplish something and it's just for yourself and it's a selfish reason, that's not success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Giving back and helping others.
Yeah, service are a product that helps others. And, you know, I feel writing a book is something that's going to last forever.
Exactly.
And it's almost better than planting a tree, although I agree with planting trees.
a tree can die, a book lives on.
And you get peaches, yeah.
And Pat, could you share with my listeners today what success means to you?
Let me backtrack a little bit, and then it leads up to my answer. Mm-hmm. When I was a young mother of three, I decided to go back to college. And it took me 6 years to finish a degree. And on the day of my graduation, my gift was dissolution papers granting a divorce from 15 years of marriage. I didn't have a job. I had a car payment. I had a house payment, and I had three daughters. Mm. But, you know, I think that was one of the best times of my life. I honestly do.
That's
really
great.
It is great. And, you know, at that time, you know, certainly I was, you know, I was frightened. You know, what was I going to do? You know, a lot of my to be responsible for. But I had three wonderful children. I had wonderful friends and a wonderful neighbor. And so I just kept moving along. And I think success for me has been so because of the people that I was surrounded with. They were encouraging. They were supportive. And so that fostered me continuing, you know, continuing to go on and you know, go further in my degree and to try other things, you know, live out of the States and work for a while. Do different things.
Well, you know, it's a very common thread that we find with successful people. And most everyone who's been on the show eventually comes to share with us that some of the worst things that happened to you in life eventually turn out to be the best things. Now,
exactly.
I'm sure neither one of you would have written a book had you not been divorced. I wouldn't have written had I not been a widow. So it's just too bad that we can't see into the future when those terrible things are happening. Mm-hmm. But it's important to share this with people so that we can give them hope. Carol, do you have any regrets that you could share with us?
You know, I have no regrets because I have made many mistakes and bad choices, but that has made me who I am today. Going through adversity, it built character. It's made me a stronger person. And if I had not been in the car accident, I wouldn't have written my book Of Face Value. And if I hadn't dated all those jerks, I wouldn't have written my book You Might Be Dating a Jerk If. And if I hadn't have gotten divorced, I wouldn't have written my book Extraordinary Divorce. So basically, I would not be an author if I hadn't have been through all of that. So
and you and I wouldn't have connected either.
Right, and yes, I wouldn't have met Pat. So,
well, you know,
there's a
already,
lot of good that came out of it.
Well, I'm already keyed up to do the show on jerks. That sounds like something.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I think
and you know that works both ways. That's not just one gender either.
That's true.
Yeah. That's got to be great. Now, Pat, what about you? Any regrets that you could share?
A couple of months ago, there was a radio person that I spoke to, and it was called Living a Regret-Free Life. And I thought, ooh, I'm going to have to work on this because I do occasionally use the word regret, and I can't do that, or I can't be part of that show. I really thought about it. I thought, you know, I think I'm going to change that word regret to challenge. You know, there were some challenges in my life that, you know, just like the one I mentioned, you know, being single with three kids and no job and lots of payments. But I'm like Carol. I don't think at this stage I can say there's any regrets. And I might have spoken differently in the past, but at this phase of my life, all of the adversity, all of the things that seemed so horrific at that time have just provided me with so many more things, you know, meeting the people whom I interviewed for my book, they're wonderful people. And the people such as you, January, such as Carol, Pam Evans and I are determined this year we are going to meet each other face to face.
I'd like to be there.
Oh, and maybe we can do that. We'll work on that. That could be that could very easily happen. So no, I'm going to go with Carol. No regrets.
And I love it. I think it's quite brilliant when you say no regrets, but lots of mistakes, because I think everyone listening can relate to that. It's been fantastic always having Pat Boobash on the show, and she'll be back again next month. And Carol Harper, you have been a wonderful guest, and I look forward to having you back again soon.
Well, thank you.
January, could I ask you to mention the International Child Center Divorce Month? Those materials are free to parents, and they can access that online.
Okay, and they would be at your website, or what website?
That would be on www.divorcedparentssupport.com.
Okay, terrific. And
great,
Carol,
great materials.
Carol, could you quickly give your website?
Yes, my website is carolharperspeaks.com.
Great. Thank you very much. To my
and
wonderful
And also,
listeners.
I have a special offer for everybody listening to your show, and it's a 20% discount off my new book, Extraordinary Divorce, on Amazon. And
wonderful.
Originally, the regular price is $14.95, and today for your listeners is $11.95.
Terrific. Thank
and
you.
And even extended this discount. I talked to my publisher today, and we've extended that for even the rebroadcast. So, you know, if somebody's listening on the rebroadcast, they can take advantage of the discount as well.
Terrific. Well, this show is archived 24/7, so a lot of people will be listening it. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. We hope we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate. Lots of chocolate. Again,
thank you
to my wonderful guests, Pat and Carol. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.